Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 5. Patience. How many of you have patience? There's one. You know, the more you think about this, and the more, you know, we think about, you know, who we are and how we react and how we kind of survive and act in this world, you know, patience is not one of our, you know, high virtues. But really, you know, James talks about it in the next two verses. We're going to continue that theme in a couple different ways. But really, the word means to be long-suffering and not to lose heart. And how do we do that? We do it by trusting in God, by keeping our eyes on Him and kind of having this idea of the bigger picture, you know, that it's not all just what we're looking at, just what we're facing right then. It's way bigger than that. But we need help. You know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, number four, I told you, is patience. And in the list of the, you know, agape, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says love is patient. The first thing that it says, love is patient. And how long do we got to be patient? Anybody remember? How long? Till Jesus returns. Yeah, that's what James said. Till Jesus returns. We got to live like it. John said this, now little children abide in Him. That means to live in Him and have our very being in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We just don't, you know, and Alex and I had a great conversation about this last Sunday and then today as well, you know, that we just do not consider the return of Jesus that much. Why? Because we get so bogged down and so caught up in just the day-to-day, what we have to face today. So we're not really thinking about Jesus is coming back. But James is telling us, and John is telling us, that we need to be thinking about that. We need to be having our eyes fixed on Him. And it should affect the way that we live. And we live like He could come back today. If we don't think He's coming back for another 10 years, you know, we may live a lot of different ways that are not pleasing to Him. But John says in this verse, abide in Him today, so that when He comes, we'll be confident and we will not be ashamed when He does return. So, James goes on, and the subject, the title I have today is suffering, patience, and perseverance. Suffering, patience, and perseverance. And I have to say thank you to James. You know, I mean, I wanted a feel-good message. I really did. You know, James, like Patrick said, and like, you know, I've been pointing out, James really hits hard, and he kind of hits, you know, some areas we really don't want to hear about. And so it'd be nice to have something, but James says, no, wait a minute, we're going to continue this idea, and there's this idea of suffering and patience and perseverance. Let's read verses 10 and 11, shall we? Chapter 5, James, he said, brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Well, that's a pretty feel-good part there, isn't it? That last part. We'll get to that, though. But James, he said, listen, brothers, he's just told them they need to be patient, and he's talked about it, not to grumble, to stand firm. But he said, listen, as an example of this patience, I want you to think about the prophets as an example of patience. You know, I don't know about you, but we do watch one another, I think. And we look at people's examples what's seen in their lives, and we look at that, and it affects us either in a good way or in a bad way, or a bad way. And maybe you know somebody that is just so patient, But James is saying, look at, you know, we need to look at these examples of patience in the face of suffering, the pattern, and something that we can actually imitate. Paul said it often. He said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me. Do like I do. Sometimes we, you know, we think it's like, don't do as I do as I say. Well, that's not really a good philosophy, is it? But people are watching us as well. People are looking at our lives. What kind of an example are we setting? Am I setting? You know, the truth of the matter is these prophets, they had patience in suffering, but I think if we're honest and we look around, we see that we're not the only ones that are suffering. People are suffering all around the world in all different kinds of ways. And sometimes if you think about it, if I think about it too much, I start to get overwhelmed by the suffering that's in this world. But James is saying, you know, that this is part of life. This is part of life in this world. But he said there's some things that we got to look at, and one is patience, and the other is perseverance in the suffering, in the face of the suffering. One thing on this idea of examples that I'll mention, Hebrews chapter 13 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It's especially true, and James talked about it, of course, you know, in chapter 3, that the teachers and leaders will be judged more strictly because we're actually, you know, standing up for the Lord. And so, but it's this idea of imitating and following examples. So he says here, he talks about the prophets. He says in the face of suffering that there would be this patience. Now, this word suffering, we've already looked at the word for patience last week, but this word suffering is this word here, kakopatheia. My Greek isn't all that great. You know, my grandmother was Greek, but I didn't learn how to speak very well. But if you look at the word, you know, pathos, we know what that word means, and in Greek, kako means bad. So it's like this bad feeling. But it includes a lot. It includes, you know, more than just feeling bad. It includes trouble and distress and affliction and hardship. Later on in chapter 5, James says, you know, are any of you in trouble? And uses this same word here. Are any of you in this situation? And he gives some things that we can do about that. But he gives us this example of these prophets who, in the face of suffering, they were patient. Again, we're talking about this applying to ourselves. Patient in the face of suffering. When you're facing suffering, isn't that when you need patience the most? You don't need it when you're, you know, everything is going great. What do you need patience for then? But in the face of suffering, when you are in the middle of suffering, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, he said, endure suffering, the same word, along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure suffering. Some translations say hardship, but it's the same thing. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I think we all are called to be soldiers in the army of Jesus. So anyways, to these prophets, they spoke in the name of the Lord. So there was something about them. They were called to speak out. They spoke, you know, forth God's word. But they faced persecution. They faced trials of all different kinds. I like what Warren Wiersbe had to say, and he said this about the prophets. He said they were in the will of God. Catch that. They were in the will of God, yet they suffered. And we must never think that obedience automatically produces peace and pleasure. Our Lord was obedient, and it led to what? A cross. Sometimes we think, you know, we're suffering, and we say this about other people too. We look at them and say, well, they must have did something wrong. They must be out of God's will or whatever. But God allows suffering in our lives for all kinds of different reasons. And the prophets were facing that. You and I face that. Suffering, trouble, distress, affliction, hardship. Suffering in your life? Maybe there's some suffering that you're facing today. Maybe you are heading into a season of suffering. Maybe you just came out of one. Thank God for that. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. James says, they in the face of the suffering and in face of these kinds of things, they were patient. And Jesus brings them up here in the Sermon on the Mount as well. He talks about people insulting us, persecuting, saying things against us because of Jesus in our lives. He says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. What about this guy Jeremiah? Let's talk about Jeremiah for a second, because, you know, anybody know what they call Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. That's right. You know, because, he didn't have an easy life. You know, nothing came easy for him. They put him in the stocks. They threw him into prison. They threw him into a dungeon. You know, this guy, but you know why he was called a weeping prophet? Not because of the suffering, but because of the sins of the people of the nation of Israel. That's what he was weeping about. Jeremiah. He was patient. He persisted. He didn't just give up. He had that patience, as James talks about here. What about verse 11? He said, as you know, we consider blessed. Jesus used that same word, blessed. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Blessed are those who have persevered. You know what the word blessed means? It actually means happy. Now, when was the last time you were happy in the middle of your suffering? Blessed, happy are those who persevere. The happiness isn't in what it is you're facing, what I have to face. It's in getting through. That's where the joy is. That's where the happiness is holding on to our faith in Jesus and not giving up, not quitting, and getting to the other side. That patience. This word here for persevering, we'll get to that in a minute, is a different word from patience. But Jesus, you know, I quoted Matthew 5, from the Sermon on the Mount, but just before that, they call that the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed, you know, there's a whole bunch of them, those who mourn, those who are persecuted. People say evil against you. He said, this is the same thing that the prophets had faced before you. It's a different way of thinking. That there's some can there be some blessings in the suffering that I'm facing? Can I actually be happy in the middle of all this? Well, if we stare at the problem and the trial, what is that going to get it for you? Sometimes we need to get up. I find that if I wake up in the morning, I'm already starting off with a bad day. I know that if I just lay there it's not going to get any better. But if I get up, get some water, get some coffee, whatever it is, and open the Word and start to just, you know, read God's Word and pray and lay it all before Him, you know, 99 times out of 100, it begins to lift. I'm just being honest with you. This is life. This is suffering. We face it in these days. We face it in these bodies. We face it in the situations that we are in. But James says, we consider blessed those who have persevered. That word there is not the same word as patience. It means to remain long. You see the word hypo, that's, you know, we know hypo, right? Hypo, like hyper. And meno means to remain. So it means hypomeno means to remain long. To endure, to persevere, to remain. And it's this present active participle that's like with an ing on the end, right? I didn't just persevere and I was done, right? That I am persevering is what James is saying here. We consider blessed those who are persevering, who are not quitting, not giving up, but going forward, holding on to their faith in Jesus. It means to not recede or not to flee, to bear bravely and calmly, I read, to persevere under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. That's what James is saying here to you and to me. Hold on to your faith in Christ and keep going. Don't give up. Now, is that always going to make you feel better? No, not necessarily. He goes on to talk about this guy, Job, or some people call him Job. He says, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Can I just mention here, for you to be patient and persevere with me today, because it's kind of warm in here. We're having a little problem with the AC, but Jay is on it. Okay? Jay, he's the man. It is a little bit warm, but I've only got a few more minutes, so be patient and persevere in the face of your suffering. We think we have it bad if it gets about 2 degrees above, you know, where we like it. What was I saying now? Job. This guy Job, you know, I mean, how many of you have read the book of Job, the whole book? It's hard to persevere to get through the whole book. It's so long. Right? But this guy Job, James says it, that he persevered. Job lost everything. He lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost his family, his children, his friends were against him. He wondered, honestly, if God was against him. When you read it carefully, you see, But Job, he couldn't see, like, behind the scenes what was really going on. When you read the first few chapters, you find out that there was this battle taking place. Satan was involved in this whole situation. God knew about it. God actually allowed it to happen. And Job really didn't do anything wrong. His friends came along and said, you know, you brought this all on yourself because of this, and the chapters and chapters of them railing against him. And it really wasn't his fault. It twisted him up quite a bit. But James says that Job persevered. He kept going. He didn't give up. You read it, and some of you that are married, Job didn't give up, but, you know, his wife wanted him to give up. What did she say? Curse God and die. Can you imagine your spouse telling you, just curse God and die? Just give up. Commit suicide, you know, be over, let it be done. And that's what I call a blessed marriage. Happy. That's when you do the happy dance, right? When you read the story, and as I pointed out, there are two different words that James is using here, one for patience and one for perseverance. When you read it, and other people have pointed this out as well, that Job was not necessarily patient. When you read a lot of the things that he says, but he persevered. And sometimes we're not really feeling all that patient, but we're called to keep going and persevere and not give up. That's why, you know, this phrase, the patience of Job, it really isn't that accurate. It should be the perseverance of Job, because that's what Job did. Sometimes you and I, we're not feeling all that patient, but we are called to persevere, and we need to keep going. Don't give up, don't stop, don't quit. Why? Because it says here, they saw what the Lord finally brought about. What the Lord finally brought about. Different translations, the NASB says the outcome of the Lord's dealings. They persevered. Job persevered and finally could see what God was going to do in all that situation. ESV, the purpose of the Lord. You see, God had a purpose and a plan in allowing that suffering in Job's life. And we have to understand, too, that He has a purpose and a plan in my life, in your life, even in the suffering. Maybe more in the suffering than in when everything is just wonderful. I know for a fact that I hear God's voice a lot louder in the middle of suffering. Sometimes I can't hear Him at all when there's no suffering. Because you're not listening. You're not listening that well. That doesn't mean there's times, you know, and we read about it and different people in the Bible, you know, when they're in the middle of suffering and they're praying and they're not hearing anything. And like David says, you know, how long? You're not listening to me. How long do I got to face this? But I think we tune in a lot better. I think we tune in a lot more in the middle of the suffering. I wish I could promise to you that you're not going to face any suffering, but I can't. God had a plan and a purpose. The Lord finally brought about His plan and His purpose in Job's life. David Guzik, when we understand that God has a good purpose, even painful things are put into a different perspective. We see things differently. Even the painful things, when we believe, when we trust what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, we know that some things work together for good. Oh, you don't like me misquoting Scripture? Oh, that's a problem. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to what? His purpose. When I always connected that His purpose to the calling, but in some translations they connect that His purpose and plan to the all things working together according to His purpose. That's kind of interesting. All things work together for good. All things, not just some things, work together for good to those who love God. Paul said in Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. This plan and this purpose, Jesus is working in us, He's working in you, He's going to bring it to completion, He's going to finish the job. Thank God for that. You are not on your own. He began the good work in you. We think, you know, it's all up to me. No, it's all up to Him and His power. We need to yield to Him. We need to surrender to Him. We need to ask Him to do His thing, right? So what happened with Job? Let's get back to Job. He was blessed more than ever before. Things turned out, it completely turned around. You go to the last chapter of the book of Job and you know, he was blessed far beyond. Now, that didn't make it any easier for him to lose everything and to lose all of his, you know, earlier children, but he got more children. You know, it doesn't say anything about him and his wife. I'm curious about that. Like, how did that go? But Job, he had to go through it. You know, he had to get to the end, and God's purposes were fulfilled because he persevered. If Job would have just given up and said, yeah, you're right, honey, I'm just going to curse God and just die or whatever. If he would have done that, he never would have got to the end. He never would have got to that next stage that God had for him. God, give us the strength to persevere. And maybe, as Alex said last week to me, you know, though we're not looking to the return of Jesus, maybe let the trials cause us to look to the return of Jesus. But this isn't the end. Jesus is coming back. You know, let's not get totally consumed with this. And Romans 8:28 and Philippians 1:6, that God is doing something. Why? Why do we say that? How can we do that? Why? Because it says the Lord, here in the last part of this verse, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job would find that out. Job did find that out. If we give up, if we quit, we're not going to find out. We're not going to know how deep that compassion is, how deep that mercy is. We're not going to know if we give up and quit. Warren Wiersbe said Job met God in a new and deeper way. How? Through the trials. Interesting, I didn't put it on the screen, but this word for compassion is polysplagnox. And poly, you know, poly means a lot, much, but the splagnox is, that's like in the very depth of your, you know, like your spleen kind of thing, in your very depths of your body, who you are. And so God, you know, he's extremely compassionate and full of mercy. It's the only place this word is used. Full of tender mercy. You see, Job found it out, and I think we find it out too, as we persevere, is that God cares. And that he sees, and that he knows. You're not on your own in the suffering and in the trials and the trouble. Be patient. Persevere. Paul says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Even the trials themselves help us to be patient. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, talking about examples of people's lives, talked about Moses, and it says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how he made it. As seeing him who is invisible, as seeing God. Keeping our eyes focused on him. So don't give up. I think you got that idea right. Don't give up. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Persevere. Even if you don't feel patient, persevere. Suffering is just a part of this life. It's a reality in this life. But God will use it, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible God. He didn't see him physically, but he saw him in his heart, in his spirit, that God was there, that God was working, that God was doing something. It's true for you, it's true for me, and we need to keep our eyes on him. Amen? Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are full of compassion. The very depths of your being, you have feeling for us. You care for us. You love us. We sang about it today, how he loves us. You love us with such depth of love. We can't even imagine how much you love us. We can't even picture it. We have no way to understand it totally, the depths of how much you love, of how much mercy you have for us. Father, I pray for your people, the brothers and sisters who are in this room, maybe watching this video, maybe watching later, that the suffering that you're facing today, God is with you. He cares. Hold on. Don't give up the ship. He's going to see you to the end. It's too soon to give up. Lord, I pray you give us the strength that we need to just hold on. It's not easy. How would we do it without you? Lord, I want to pray as we close for those that don't have you, Jesus, in their lives. How could they ever make it? How can they get through this suffering? How can they get through the trials? Well, they need you. And today, Jesus is here. Jesus is available. He wants to come into your life and show you how much he loves you. And all you need to do is trust him, believe in him, and open your heart and let him in. Simply pray and say, Jesus, I need help. I need you. I ask you into my heart and my life today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing one more song together, shall we?